mini-sode of Myths and Muses. I'm your host, Cass, daughter of Cleo, Muse of History. While I am still on the research trip my mother and aunts decided to send me on, they also thought it was important, with Percy Jackson and the Olympians now airing on Disney+, that I send in a few mini-episodes to help viewers of the series get to know some of the characters and creatures they're seeing on screen. So, be warned! These mini-episodes will have some spoilers for the most recently aired episodes of the TV show. And you know, I gotta say, I did not know it was possible to get streaming video service on Themyscira, but they actually have really fast Wi-Fi. So, a lot happened in those first two episodes, huh? I have so many characters and creatures to choose from, but I think I'd like to talk about one whose presence hints at something much larger in the plot. Don't worry, no spoilers for things that you haven't seen on screen yet, but maybe a few hints to get you thinking about how things are going to unfold. So let's talk about the target of Percy's first sword-slashing victory, the Kindly One. The Kindly Ones are also known as, and I'm going to hope that being here on Themyscira, and under the Muses' protection, and it totally being for scholarly purposes, I won't get in trouble for saying their names. They're also known as the Erinyes, the Eumenides, or the Furies. Okay, no imminent portents of doom falling on me. Guess the scholar loophole is working. I'm going to call them the Furies for the rest of this episode, that name being, well, easier to say than Erinyes or Eumenides. The Furies are goddesses of vengeance in Greek and Roman mythology. They are often considered the children of Nyx, goddess of the night, sometimes on her own and sometimes with Pluto, although only in Roman versions, hence the Roman version of his name. In other stories, they were born when Cronos defeated his father Uranos. Famously, Uranos's blood fell into the sea and created Aphrodite, born from the sea foam. But the blood that fell on land is said to have given birth to the Furies. They often appear in threes, but their total number is never actually given. Virgil names three of them in the Aeneid, and their names kind of give you an indication about their nature. Alecto, which means endless anger, Megaera, which means jealous rage, and Tisiphone, which means vengeful destruction. Hey, I guess with names like those, at least you know what you're getting. They appear as women clothed in black, usually crones with white hair, and they often have wings. Serpents twine around their arms and hair, and in the act of pursuing vengeance, they will shake the serpents loose. In fact, in some Greek art, you can see them throwing the snakes at whoever it is they're pursuing. Which, yeah, I'd find that pretty unnerving. The Furies punished mortals who committed crimes against the natural order. Exactly what that means is kind of up to interpretation. Some are pretty obvious. Children who kill their parents who kill their children, offenses against the gods, swearing false oaths. But the Furies might also punish an entire nation if it harbored a fugitive criminal bringing plagues and famine down upon the people, which seems a little harsh. It's not like most of the citizens would have anything to do with hiding the criminal. Oh, that's Aunt Mel. Melpomene, Muse of Tragedy, reminding me to tell her favorite story involving the Furies. It's also probably their most famous story, their persecution of Orestes, the son of Agamemnon, as told by the Greek playwright Aeschylus in a series of famous tragic plays. To understand how Orestes landed him in such trouble, we have to back up a bit to before the Trojan War. Orestes' father, Agamemnon, led the Greek forces in the Trojan War. Before they left, however, he sacrificed his own daughter, Iphigenia, to secure favorable winds for their 1,000 ships. This understandably enraged his wife and Iphigenia's mother, Clytemnestra. For 10 years she waited, and then, when Agamemnon returned home after the war, she murdered him. Worst homecoming ever, right? But he pretty much deserved it, if you ask me. Several years later, the god Apollo orders Agamemnon and Clytemnestra's son, Orestes, to avenge his father by killing his mother. And you have to do what the gods tell you to do, right? So, with the help of his cousin Pylades and his sister Electra, Orestes comes up with a plan to kill Clytemnestra. Even so, he hesitates at the crucial moment, until Pylades reminds him that, you know, Apollo ordered it. So Orestes kills his mother. But with her dying breath, Clytemnestra curses him. And that curse is what brings the Furies down upon him. The Furies pursue Orestes, driving him to madness, forcing him to see his mother's ghost. They chase him across mountains and through forests, never letting him rest. Until apparently the Furies decided they needed a little nap-nap themselves. I guess even primordial forces need a rest now and then. Apollo, who is, after all, the one who got Orestes into this mess, and Hermes help Orestes get to Athens, where he pleads to Athena for help. And Athena decides, hey, this is a great opportunity to try out this new thing I've come up with, a courtroom trial. She rounds up 12 Athenian citizens and has them hear the first murder case. The Furies put forward the evidence that they're just doing their jobs, you know? They were called upon to avenge a matricide, so that's what they're doing. Orestes admits that, well, yes, he did kill his mother, but it was on a god's orders. To defy a god would also be a crime against nature, so really, what was he supposed to do? The vote comes down to a tie, which is broken by Athena. She acquits Orestes of guilt and purifies him of his crime. Not wanting the Furies to be annoyed with her, however, Athena also comes up with something new for them to do. Rather than only persecuting wrongdoers, they will now also be responsible for protecting the city of Athens, where they'll be worshipped as venerable goddesses. This placates them, and they let Orestes get on with his life. The Furies didn't end up working for Athena full-time, though. Throughout Greek mythology, we see them pursuing other characters who have done some terrible deed, like Medea or Oedipus. They also have a side hustle in the underworld. After the shades of the dead are judged, they get handed over to the Furies, who purify the good of their sins, but drag the wicked off to Tartarus. So, if someone has sent a kindly one after Percy Jackson, why? What crime did they think he's committed? And who exactly would have summoned them? If you've read the book, then you know the answer. But will it play out the same way on screen? I guess we'll all have to keep watching to find out. If you'd like to know more about the Furies, I'll drop some links in the show notes. Until next time, demigods, stay brave out there. And thanks for listening to this special mini-episode of Myths and Muses, brought to you by Mythic Camps, a division of Plato Learning. To learn more about our summer camps, Camp Half-Blood, Camp Jupiter, Daring Girls, and Camp Mythic, visit us at mythiccamps.com. That's Mythic with a K. MythikCamps.com. Or find us on Facebook and Instagram.